Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Luke chapter 2, verses 41 through 52. The Reverend John Danzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Luke, the second chapter. Now Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up according to custom. And when the feast was ended, as they were returning, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. His parents did not know it, but supposing him to be in the group, they went a day's journey. But then they began to search for him among their relatives and acquaintances. And when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem searching for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting among the teachers, listening to him and asking them questions. And all who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." And he said to them, "Why were you looking for me? Did you not know that I must be in my father's house?" And they did not understand the saying that he spoke to them. But he went down with them and came to Nazareth and was submissive to them. And his mother treasured up all these things in her heart. And Jesus increased in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. O Lord, have mercy on us.
Thanks be to God.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
This singular account of Jesus' childhood holds for us three instructions, and then a blessed gospel promise. Every mother knows the flush of terror when she turns around in the store and the child isn't there anymore. It's easy to imagine a disobedient and distracted, typical child wandering off. So what about a truly perfect and sinless child? What about a child more concerned for others than for himself? Did such a child as this make Mary and Joseph more attentive or less? It took them a full day even to realize that he was gone. That's nearly criminal neglect. They weren't paying attention. They didn't think they had to. Why then, when they caught up with him, did they scold Jesus? The first instruction then is this: parents also sin. And when they blame their children for their own sins, they sin more. Even the parents of a perfect child tried it. Parents can't do this. We must not hide behind our authority when we sin. The authority is given to parents for the sake and the benefit of those under that authority. Children honor and submit to you because it is God's will that they do that. They do it for the sake of their conscience, not to make it easier for you to check Facebook or watch football or figure out your taxes. So when you sin like this against your child, or I suppose by extension against a direct report of yours, the right thing to do is always to repent, to confess your sin. And if that child or that worker is a Christian, to seek forgiveness for that sin. Yes, parents must confess to their children and be forgiven, even if your child is not Jesus. Now, the scripture says that Mary and Joseph did not understand the saying that Jesus spoke to them. You may see a bit of yourself in them also. They didn't get it. And nevertheless, Jesus goes and submits to them. He honors father and mother. The second instruction is for children and those who are under any authority. The command that God gives us is to honor them. That is, whether they are honorable or not. Unless you think that you are greater than God's own son. God knows what he is doing. And he knows what he is doing even when parents don't seem to know what they're doing. So trust God's promises. He says it will go well with you. Be faithful to your tasks and trust in him. God will bless. Now, Jesus lingering behind in the temple was not a matter of good versus bad, but a matter of priorities. In due time, he gladly returned to Nazareth, but at that time, it was necessary for him to be about the things of his Father in his house. So the third instruction is this: if you are a Christian, if you are a son of God also, baptized into Christ Jesus, then you will also be about your Father's things and in his house. This is not only a command, it's also a matter of fact. You can't call God your Father and not be with him, about him, devoted to his word. Now, parents have the greater responsibility in this. That's what an authority is. It is their God-given duty to raise their children in the faith, to bring them to Jesus' promises in baptism, to put the scriptures into their hands, and to lead them to hunger and to come to the Blessed Sacrament. When Jesus put his Heavenly Father's things above all of the otherwise good alternatives, he showed that he was the very Son of God. Likewise, if you and your children wish to be known as sons of God, you will have to get your priorities straight too. Priority is probably not the right word for it. The true word is faith. Trust that God really is my highest good. And whatever else I might be missing out on, well, to miss out on them for his gifts will actually be no loss to me. This is what Jesus will say eventually when he says, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness." Children, in turn, also learn from Jesus that there is one time, and only one time, when it is, in fact, necessary to disobey your parents and other adults. That is when your parents tell their children to sin, or when they keep them from God's word and sacraments. Then it's not disobedience, but it's obedience, because we must obey God rather than men. It may become a child's duty to remind his parents, honorably, that neither is he their child alone. And it is the parents that need that warning. They, not the children, are the ones that hold the car keys. They are the ones with the responsibility. God will not punish such children when they cannot come to hear his word. But he will hold their parents accountable for this. Lord, have mercy on us, whether we are parents or we are children. I think many of us are both. And may he grant us to increase in wisdom and stature and favor with God and men also. But there's one more point that we must hear in this gospel, and it is hope for all of the parents among us who have squirmed uncomfortably today, and it is consolation also for all of the regrets that you have that cannot be undone at this point. And it is that Jesus says, "It is necessary for me to be about the things of my Father." He learned something there in the temple, listening to God's word. He learned something also from those astonished teachers, that he must be about his Father's word and his work. He, in fact, must be the true temple, and he must offer the sacrifice to reconcile all rebellious children and selfish, spineless parents to the Lord. What is, in fact, most necessary and needful is Jesus Christ, God's Son, busy about all of the things of his Father and his house, that is, obsessed and devoted unflinchingly to your salvation. That more than duty is what makes your presence here and at your church and everywhere that you are among the Lord's own family just as necessary, just as needful, impossible to live without. So great is his love that he would not have you wander off from the temple, so to speak, and leave Jesus behind. Because you are sons of the Heavenly Father. You are baptized into his Son, Jesus. And it is necessary that you remain in the Father's things and that you grow in wisdom and in stature, and of course, that you receive the favor of our gracious God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you for joining us for Chapel. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.